Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, appreciation to B. Scott for joining us in the last hour. What are your expectations this year for Ariante Ursary? We're talking just a little bit ago about, you know, the good reporting that Jonathan M. Alexander did on the Houston Chronicle, letting us know that it was indeed Ariante Ursary that the Texans were looking to trade up for, moving from 58 to 38 if they had had their druthers in the 2025 NFL draft. We're just a day away from OTAs getting going for the Texans, and so we're starting to get to this place. What are your expectations for Tay Ursary? Because I think that in looking at the notion of that, you've kind of decided that you think that that means that they have such a high regard for him, and maybe that changed the way that you look at it. So I kind of want to start here in that same place. How do you kind of power rank the offensive lineman that the Texans have?
God, I wish you hadn't asked that.
Because I think that especially, and maybe from their view or from your view, because I think that what it highlights for me is that it might be that the same place that we viewed as a weakness before is still a weakness now to some degree.
It for sure. And you often hear me talk about, you know, watch what they do, not what they say. This is kind of like a watch what they almost did.
Yeah.
Watch what they almost did here. Because what they said is, well, we never draft for need. Sure looked like you drafted for need.
Yeah, that one.
Sure looked like
or at least you were attempting to draft for need.
And it sure looked like you tried to draft even higher for need.
And on two accounts, mind you, because remember, there was also attempt to trade up in the first round that very much had Nick Caserio frustrated when he came to the podium to talk after day one of the NFL draft.
So when you watch what they did and what they almost did in this case, trading up 20 spots for Ursary, that tells you just how highly they think of him. And as much as we can question, what their track record is, drafting offensive linemen, especially high in the higher rounds, I think it says that they have high hopes for him to be one of their top three linemen.
Okay, so if we're going for it, I think we feel comfortable that Cam Robinson is one of your better, if not your best linemen.
Right? I would agree.
Titus Howard in there?
I think Titus Howard's probably in there, and you got to give him benefit of the doubt, having been in the league, excelling or, playing pretty well at guard, which is where we think he's going to be penciled in. I'm not so sure Ursary isn't next.
Okay, so let's go ahead and put that there, all right? Where do you go after that? Because that's three dudes who are nominally tackles. I think Titus, we feel very confident that he's a guard. Mm-hmm. After that, where are you looking?
Is it Jarrett Patterson?
Are you for real?
Who else would you put?
I think your candidates here are, if you're looking at a veteran player, depending on how you feel about him, Lakin Tomlinson and Ed Ingram are names that come up here. I know you would think about Trent Brown as well.
Trent Brown is in the mix. Lakin Tomlinson is in the mix. So is Ed Ingram. But what Jarrett Patterson did at center.
Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs.
Yeah.
You're looking at those guys being your next answers there?
I would say Jarrett Patterson.
That feels like you got to put a line after the top three as a break.
Yeah. They're it's like tiers. This is definitely tier two, with Jarrett Patterson and maybe Trent Brown, maybe Lakin Tomlinson in that same tier. How would you do it?
Not Blake Fisher at all in there for you?
I'm not real high on Blake Fisher right now, just to be completely transparent and clear.
So you'd put him in a proverbial third tier?
Yeah, I would, because let's look at the Blake Fisher experience and not even on the field. Like what they've done with Blake Fisher having played last year to a certain degree. They brought in Trent Brown. They brought in Cam Robinson. They drafted Ursary. And that says a lot about what they think about Blake Fisher. Watch what they do. What they did was not show a lot of confidence in Blake Fisher being a tackle.
All right, so somebody said if Titus is in the right tackle, why is he not right guard? I think it's because he played left guard last year. But teaching him a whole nother position, is that something that they'd want to do? And also, I still, harken back to the ways in which they thanked him at any given opportunity for moving to left guard. And this is reading into it. I cannot say this with any level of certainty, but that may seem like Titus Howard, not all that excited to move positions necessarily.
Oh, right?
Obviously doing it as necessary. So would you want to take a person who at least historically we know has not been excited to move positions and then say, hey, want to do it one more time for me, big dog? Like, that's the only thing that I concern myself with. But ultimately, the point that I want to get to, because we don't necessarily need to nail this down.
Well, I am curious what your number 4, 5, 6 would be.
I think.
Are you in agreement, those top three?
Those guys be in there. I think I'd put Lakin Tomlinson there for sure. I think he had a down year last year, and maybe that trends towards a downward turn in his play. But I still recognize the time that he's had where he's been good. Mm-hmm. Ed Ingram is a real question for me, because I don't know what to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a whole bunch of question marks where you start getting into like the depths of this, where like how much do you like LD Henderson off of what they've said, right? Like,
right.
I don't know what to do with that. But ultimately, my point being, you talk at least the top three guys you're looking at as tackles. And then after that, you got guys that I don't know that you have very much certainty at inside, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe Titus will likely play inside, at least in my estimation. And again, we're not certain. We'll see how this goes. But that points to kind of an interior that's still kind of soft.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And mm-hmm. I guess the question has been, can you get a system? Can Nick Haley come in and will a system make a large difference in what's happening here? And that brought me, actually, oddly enough, entirely apart from thinking about the Texans, I was listening to a podcast that was talking about college football, in fact, and, the portaling of offensive lines and what have you and how you make those go. And one of the things that they were talking that kind of came to was just RPOs. And I was like, is it possible then that you could see an offense that utilizes the run-pass option, right? The situation where you are utilizing this threat of having two different things happening at once, giving a defense two things that they're looking at to slow defenses down and give your offense a little bit more viability, a little bit more opportunity to be effective. And that seems like it would fit in line with some of the other things that we've talked about, or we've heard talked about, including C.J. Stroud saying, I will have more of an impact and a say in this offense. That feels like something where you are making that decision, that read at the line in an RPO circumstance on whether you're passing, whether you're handing this thing off. And is it possible that we could see an offense that's maybe leans more that way in this year?
I think the answer is in part of what you just said. You got a quarterback that wants to have more control, and that means he wants to make those decisions. He wants to make the RPO decisions. And then the other thing is, yes, you want the offensive line to run block better and protect C.J. Stroud better, but how do you help them do that? You protect them with RPOs. You give them, especially on the interior line, you give them maybe some shorter instances of having to hold blocks, some options to put the defense on the heel. That would be RPO. I'm not going to say it's going to be heavy doses, but I absolutely could see where it would work.
Are you confident at least in this offensive line being able to grasp that? Not to say that's like difficult, but RPO obviously then gets you in that place where you've got to hold the line and not have men downfield, which was something that this offensive line, obviously not with these specific guys, but this offensive line struggled with last year, is that, you know, that neutral zone of getting dudes too far downfield. And you had at least a couple of those penalties thrown out. It felt like a number of them were on Kenyon Green, to be specific.
Well, and I also think that speaks to the system change.
Yeah.
The system change lends itself more to RPOs, because what did they do last year? It was about getting to the second level. It was about leaving guys, you know, on islands like Dalton Schultz. Get to the second level, whether it's on the interior or the exterior or outside the line, is to be able to get – well, that does not lend itself to RPOs. What they do, power, engaging, and holding these blocks, and et cetera, that does. So I think – that comes back down to Cole Popovich and techniques and their style of offense.
Yeah, I think that I could see that. Also, one of the reasons why I bring that up, the idea of an RPO, is it feels like wide receiver-wise,
you've got guys.
You've got guys that feel like they would flourish in that type of system. Obviously, Nico Collins just seems like he would flourish. I struggle to find the system that I think Nico Collins would not flourish
in. Yeah.
Like, he is in that caliber of player to where I'm like, what is the system that you could put him in offensively where he would not be a monster? Not even he would not be good. He'd not be a monster. We've seen him get the ball in space and create.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk seems like he has, you know, the speed and able to do that. But specifically, I'd like to speak to Jalen Knoll.
Yeah.
We've talked about him clearly possibly having a role like returning kicks in that way. But I could easily see him being a guy that gets the ball in space and creates in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see an RPO offense allowing him to do that.
You've actually kind of convinced me that this is going to be more of a thing than maybe I thought of before, simply because I started thinking about just the techniques they're using on the offensive line to stay more engaged within the yard and a half, you know, whatever, 2 yards of the line of scrimmage, and the way they drafted, the players they brought in, you know, like Christian Kirk. I think all those things would lend itself to at least experimenting. And, of course, on top of all that, let's have C.J. Stroud make the decision. He knows what the defense is doing. He sees them operating in real time. And I think that's where that could come in.
And if you'll allow me to soft pedal this just a little bit further here from the A32, y'all think CJ might use his legs a little bit more this season?
Well, that's part of it.
That's been something that you've been clamoring for. Mm-hmm. CJ's kind of explicitly said that this is something that he'll work on to some degree and wants to utilize it in order to take his game up another level. Mm-hmm. It does feel like that would be something that also in an RPO style offense or an offense that utilizes RPOs a little bit more, that feels like that would be on the table to add another element of complexity to it. And that feels like something that he is primed and ready to kind of undertake in some ways. In reading more about New England and what Josh McDaniels has done there, one of the things that he did specifically, though, when he had Cam Newton, right, in mm-hmm. order to try and game plan offense, all those things, when he had Cam Newton was he went a little bit RPO heavy. Now, of course, Cam Newton profiled at that point, 2020, more like a quarterback that could not use his arm, and that's different than mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud very much can use his arm. He can be accurate. You can depend on him in those ways. But I do wonder if, you know, in trying to replicate some of the New England stuff, that might be something where you go, seeing the way that game plan came to be, could that be something that could be kind of siphoned and utilized for the Texans?
And it feeds perfectly into what my thoughts are with C.J. Stroud and running the ball. You know, pick your spots. You know, I don't want him to carry the ball 15 times, but be able to be the threat, be able to pick it up when you have to and get out of bounds and all that stuff, but have that in the bag, you know, because they clearly it's in the offensive style. You just mentioned Cam Newton.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just continue to think about what are the ways that you can mitigate mm-hmm. This offense, because again, they view it does like I think you're right. They probably view Ariante Ursery highly, but still, how soon does he get on the field? That's something that there's not been a commitment to, and neither should there. Right? We'll see once we start doing OTAs, once we get him to training camp, what this offensive line looks like. But I'm already wondering what does Nick Caley do in order to help mitigate what I feel like, and I don't know. I feel like other people also agree with me. It's still not an incredibly highly talented offensive line across the board, even if we're talking about a few. An offensive line has historically been a weakest link proposition.
Yeah, like I said, you want them to be better. You want them to run block better and pass block better. But you also have to help them because they have some young players. They have some players that have moved around, and we're still unsure exactly what the entire makeup of the line is going to be. So there's going to be a learning curve. You got to be able to help them, and that's one way to do it.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's typically the time where we hand off.
We don't hand off here.
But we do our lunchtime confessions brought to you by the Men's Clinic, and we will do that next.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
On my podcast, Aspire with Em Agreed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Em Agreed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold on there, Lopez. Hold on.
All right.
We got a text coming in.
You go.
From a high school offensive line coach.
Okay.
Said, this is my confession. I'm a high school O-line coach who thinks RPOs need to be banned. We were just talking about the possibility of maybe seeing some more RPOs this year for the Texans in the ways that, you know, maybe they could help mitigate an offensive line that maybe isn't as talented as one might think all the way across. How do you feel about the idea of that?
How do you ban them?
I guess the idea being that, you know, there's always linemen downfield on them.
That's the part I kind of feel them on that one mm-hmm. because it's nothing worse than doing a play like that and then it's a legal man downfield and that's
coming
back.
Well, coach better.
Well, not even just. I mean, yeah, they're downfield, but they're in usually within that, you know, that nice range. But he's right.
Hey, like, y'all ain't no offensive line coach like this guy right here.
That is true. He I am not an offensive line coach. I'm nobody's offensive line
coach. I'm
sure
he's trying to keep him from going downfield.
Yeah. Yeah, that probably does stem from just like that personal frustration.
Like, or at least,
hey, guys, y'all got 2 yards. Don't go past that 2 yards. And they call the play.
Yeah, it's probably way different for high school, too.
See that yellow go up there? Oh, God, it's like, I told you. Why are you 5 yards from the field?
Y'all going to get me fired.
Yeah.
How many times? If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times.
That should be
you
his confession.
You got 2 yards.
Just imagine doing this for high school.
That's what I'm saying. That should be his confession.
Because they knuckleheads, coaching
high school. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I feel you, brother.
You know what they say about karma, right?
No.
What is karma?
It's a B word,
it's
right?
It's a B.
Oh.
So this happened Friday, and I meant to get to it Friday, and I never did, but it's still appropriate today. So remember when we had a question of the day about things that should be banned?
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you the story, and you'll know, you'll remember what I wanted to be banned. So Friday morning, right before we went into the long weekend, I'm on the elevator with 2 other people. Some bozo sticks his arm between the elevator doors as it's about to close, as it's closing.
Looking like Bishop from Juice.
Yeah. Opens the doors back up, and I'm like, well, this is funny. We just talked about this. I think it was the day before or Wednesday or whatever. Then I get up here all the way. I realize I forgot my coffee, the coffee that I always bring. I was like, got to go back to my truck. Go back to my truck, get on the elevator with 1 person. Another bozo sticks his arm.
I don't like that you calling these people bozos.
between the doors. So what I said should be banned is like, if someone's on the elevator, you don't open them. You know, you don't open them as they're closing. Happened to me twice in within like 15 minutes.
And you deserve it.
They probably listened to the show.
I wonder if it was like, I'll get him. Twice.
I'm going to start doing it. If I see you on the elevator, I'm going to do it.
Stick your arm in there?
Yep.
I'm going to act like I'm hitting the button, but I'm not really. So, twice in 15 minutes.
You deserve it.
The exact same thing I was talking about.
And did it ruin your day?
Kind of.
Good.
Yeah, kind of.
That's the beautiful part is if you had said no, I'd have been like, see? And if you had said yes, I'd be like, you deserved it. That's what you earned.
You couldn't lose.
That's right. Yeah. Somebody said not blaming the lineman, blaming the quarterback, which yes, I know.
Okay.
Because obviously you block the run, and obviously the quarterback has to make a decision, get the ball out quickly. If not, then you end up,
So it's the quarterback's fault. Maybe the quarterback should get a flag for it, right?
Sure.
Instead of legal lineman downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Either way.
Ban it from high school, at least.
Yeah, just ban it from the high school that my man coaches at least, to save him.
Take it out the playbook.
Save him the hassle of it. I mentioned it. I thought that last night's Western Conference Finals game between the Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves was one of my favorite games that I've watched in the last few years of basketball. It was, both teams playing incredible defense, incredible offense. We got a lot of scoring. It came down to, a great circumstance.
Yeah.
And I was watching it, it was on ESPN, and for the first time in maybe ever, I was good on the call. I was good on the announce team. The announce team of ESPN, Mike Breen, Doris Burke, and Richard Jefferson.
Yeah.
And specifically within that, I know that there's people that dislike Doris Burke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one of them. Like, I typically really like her. She said a couple things that made me kind
exactly
of
what she
and
said.
Made me go, all right.
I kind of liked it.
And made me go, all right. One of those was here. Here's the first of Doris Burke talking on the broadcast yesterday.
And I don't know much about history, but I know the French and German don't like one another. And Rudy says, bonjour, Mr. Hartenstein. Have a little bit of that left-handed dunk.
What are you trying to start here?
Exactly, Mike Breen. Like, what are we doing here?
That one was brutal.
Like, what are we doing here, Doris?
That one was brutal.
Like, I think she was trying way too hard.
The French and the German, she's trying to create.
Goodness gracious.
Well, I mean, they've had plenty of strife in their history.
But create more?
Some of which I don't really need to get to at this point. But yes, I was like, that was, and then here's the other one.
And there's contact on the elbow. This is why he's called the free throw merchant.
Every player in the league can do this.
I actually love that call.
Calling him a free throw merchant.
Yeah. Like, I mean, everybody's thinking it.
We don't, but this is the place where I will say, though, in that space, being a partner of the league and not saying, obviously, they can be critical in the ways that they can. I feel like that doesn't help what we're talking about, the league is leaning into these particular narratives of things, at least when you're on the call. But yeah, I just watching it all, I was like, all right, I am ready to go to the simulcast that they had, the ESPN2 broadcast, where they had Tim Legler, and I enjoyed that quite a bit.
What the league thinks doesn't matter to me. Why? Who cares from a league perspective? I thought it was a good call that everybody's thinking about this, how he's doing. And by the way, I don't mind it. I don't mind what he does, just as an aside. But I, like, she did her job. Like, okay, everybody, they're holding up signs,
right?
Free throw merchant and all this other. I thought that was her best work.
I think
in that game,
the reason why I said that was more of, I think when you're talking about these things, you're highlighting kind of the negative aspect of which and the ways that people kind of look at the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, we didn't have to do that. We didn't have to do that.
Yeah, see,
you're pretty much saying she's doing the Jeff Van Gundy, pretty much, like highlighting some of the things that the league don't really want to highlight
at times.
But we appreciated that,
to some degree.
And I appreciated what she said. It's like you can't ignore the elephant in the room. And if the league doesn't like it, well, take it up with Doris Burke and ESPN. You know, I wanted a good call. The first one was brutal.
One, I was like, you want to listen to Reggie Miller?
I was like, you go,
no!
Doris Burke.
You like, ain't that damn bad?
You go, Doris Burke. That's a good announcer right there. Yeah.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
So speaking of NBA playoff basketball, Carl Anthony Towns, he kind of balled out the last game.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to confess, man, he, for some reason, I feel like people been picking on him on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to confess, maybe I'm part of the problem. Maybe I shouldn't be laughing at this, but the internet felt like he'd be playing basketball a little too zesty. And I feel like people being a little unfair with this, because I feel like everybody will look a little zesty if you play like a replay in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep,
are you talking about the pass?
Yeah, they keep.
I love that
too. They keep slowing everything he do down.
Yeah.
And saying, look how zesty he looked. I'm like, anybody would look zesty if you put them in slow mo.
Like, this funny face and like,
yeah, really, like the way he passed the ball. I'm like, man, anybody would look a little zesty if you put them passing the ball in slow mo. Yeah. But I kind of enjoy people having fun with that, though.
I'm not sure I agree with you there. And then also, how do we then account for him going, oh my God, when he's getting fouled? How do we account for that? And again,
but
I don't say
that. But you're doing it in slow-mo, though. If you're doing it in slow-mo, it look real zesty.
Yeah.
No, when he gets fouled, he'll yell, oh my God. I understand.
Like a sorority person.
I understand where people are coming from there. At the same time, though, like, he was out here hooping.
Yeah, he was. Like, especially that little zesty pass he did in slow-mo.
He just did it.
Yeah. Everybody picking up on this now. I'm just like, man, leave him alone.
Every time I see Kat, I'm going to think zesty.
He out here balling, though, man.
Yeah,
but I ain't going to lie. I was cracking up just seeing people feed into this.
Yeah. All right. So Indy 500 was Sunday. And part of my confession is, like, I can't tell you what it is about the Indy 500, but every single year it gets me. I'm in. I put
really?
It on every – I can't.
How much do you watch it?
I had it on for all 3 hours.
Okay. You had it on.
In the one room. You've been to my house.
I will ask again, how much do you watch?
Probably it? 2 hours worth, two-thirds of it.
Actively.
Because my setup is. I got the one big screen.
That's
and
right.
Another one in the other room, and I'm going in and back and forth and all that stuff. And I was just like, I don't understand how one race, and I watch occasional NASCAR, people know that, but Indy type cars, one a year. I can't tell you what it is. Part of it is, like, this is what my wife got mad at me. Like, we were going to go pick up my granddaughter. She was going to spend the day with us.
Sure.
Right? I said, okay, right after the start your engines. Remember, that's one of my favorite things.
Sure, that makes sense. Stuff.
Well, there was a slight rain delay, if you recall. So we waited like 20 minutes so I could see it. She's standing there at the door like, let's go. But I cannot tell you what it is about the Indy 500. Every single year it gets me.
Yeah, I guess it's probably just like the things that are traditional on the schedule, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is frequently referred to as the, you know, greatest race or the greatest weekend in auto racing. Mm-hmm. And so like just the pomp and circumstance of it, I'm sure, is part of it for you. I can honestly say Indy 500 doesn't do it for me. Yeah. And I mean, no disrespect to anyone for whom it does, because you far outnumber me, mm-hmm. to be completely honest. But yeah, I'm just like, it's cool. I actually, funny enough, after quite a few weeks of not being tapped in, rather than watching the Indy 500, I watched the Coca-Cola 600, which was the NASCAR race that was happening this weekend.
And I did not.
So yeah,
I'm more, I'm more of a NASCAR guy too. Yeah, but not, it just gets me.
So yeah, that's
I had my fill of auto racing.
That is fair. That is 100% fair. I gotta admit, I'm a little bit of a hater. Mm-hmm. I am not happy that the Indiana Pacers have reinstated John Halliburton, Tyrese Halliburton's ability to go back to these home games. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if y'all was gonna do it, go ahead and do it. It's like they were like, "Hey, John, Giannis was talking about it. It's looking kind of bad. We just need to stay home a little bit." And then ain't nobody looking no more. Hey, John, you can come back out here. You can come back out here. Don't worry about it. Anybody, they're gone. They're gone now. You can come back out here. Because, like, what was the point then? Like, what was the point of making it indefinite?
Yeah. I don't disagree.
Yeah. Do you feel like they kind of overreacted with the punishment a little bit?
Oh, probably. Mm-hmm. Probably. He shouldn't have been on the court and all this, but yeah. The idea is just like, hey, man, you can't come to no more games.
I mean, the way they put it, you would have thought they were scrapping at some point.
That's probably true.
If you're going to ban them, the playoffs then.
That is like, you know, going somewhere you're not supposed to. Like, you're not a part of any of the personnel or anything. Why are you on the court? No,
I agree with that, mm-hmm. but he ain't the first. I mean, I think he was doing too much.
In those situations, he's not the first.
He's not the first. You see all them celebrities on the court mm-hmm. for the Knicks? Yeah. They be all over the court dapping the players up and everything.
It does kind of speak
but
to
what... I feel like he did too much to Giannis, though.
It does kind of speak made to it. What is precedent here? You know, what is a ban?
I mean, I don't even know.
I never knew what a ban. I feel like a ban should be forever, right?
You would think, or at least that season.
But I mean, everything's relative, and they always obviously it's their I guess place where they could be out here and they can get people out here for whatever reason. We've seen them get people out of here for various reasons. I also do find it funny that this is just home games. Like we're not taking you on the road though. Like we're not taking you to New York. We're not putting you in that.
Probably ugly. For his own good.
Yeah, yeah, no, that would be ugly.
Yeah, they might fight you out there. You could do this at Gamebridge. You could do this amongst us.
Yeah.
But you can't go nowhere else. So there you go. Those are our lunchtime confessions here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our winners and losers of the extended weekend. Who do you think won? Who do you think lost on the weekend? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next. All right, who are the winners and losers of the Memorial Day weekend? 713-572-4610. Because I'm not gonna lie, I think that I actually found a late candidate here for a loser on the weekend. But again, send them in if you have any that you believe were winners or losers. How about let's start here. Keep it close to home. Jose Altuve was a winner.
Oh yeah,
on the weekend, 8 of 17 weekend. Actually, there's a couple of Astros that you could put in here. One of those being Christian Walker, who, you know, obviously had an opportunity to have walk-off moment this weekend, hitting a home run to the Crawford boxes on a line. And he's improved his batting average significantly. Like, I mean, a good 12 points
at least,
over the last few days. Yeah. But over his last 7 days, he's batting .280 with a .669 OPS. Like he's just been significantly better over a very short period of time. You hope that he kind of make that transition continue into a better play because you need him. You need him to a great degree. But shout out to Jose Altuve also finding a level of betterment for himself. And I guess if you also want to go Astros, you had the stat on the bullpen and the
bullpen,
ERA
for the 17 game stretch, the entirety of it, 2.66 ERA from the bullpen.
Yeah. So I think. Just over the weekend, getting a 3-1 victory over the Mariners, only a game and a half back of the Mariners there before you start a two-game set right now versus the A's. Like, I think the you could absolutely call the Astros winners on the weekend. And if you want to add a little bit more to that, you could talk about the fact that when it comes down to it, you have Luis Garcia throwing off the mound this weekend for whatever that's worth. We did get a little bit of something when it comes to Arrigetti a few days ago, the idea that Dana Brown hopes to get him back, quote, somewhere in the month of July, for whatever that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Those are some things with the Astros. This is absolutely one of those. The losers are the Boston Red Sox in very particular way. They're losing Alex Bregman for a significant amount of time. He is dealing with a hamstring strain, and that's, it looks like they're comparing it to the one that he dealt with in 21. Like, that could possibly be a significant mm-hmm. amount of time. He missed months.
He did
that one.
Yeah, he did, and that's a huge hit for them. Obviously, he's been really, really good until the injury.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Alex Bregman, quad injury. I want to make sure that I get that correct. It is a quad injury. He's been placed on IL. I mean, I got to go back and look at how well Bregman, I got to actually look at the numbers here, because Bregman has been very, very good to start the season in a way that had been frustrating for those of us around here.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of been known to be a slow starter. He'd been batting 299 with a 938 OPS to this point. Like, Bregman had been very, very good, and talking about the ways in which being up there with the staff in Boston mm-hmm. had made him a little bit better when it comes to starting the season. Now they're going to lose him for an extended amount of time. So that's definitely a loss for them, especially when you look at what the AL East looks like. Like, that is not mm-hmm. an easy division. Just talking about the AL in general, the AL's not been strong in baseball this year.
It hasn't been real strong. I think, obviously, you know, there's going to be some separation, but the Red Sox needed all of Bregman that they could get, and he's going to be, what, a month?
I mean, if feels yeah. like, if you're yeah. comparing it to 21, I mean, he missed
2 months.
2 months with that. Yeah, so, yeah, yeah, they're 27-29, the Red Sox, at this point. 7.5 games back of the lead in the AL East. And if you're just looking at wild card standings, again, standings at this point is probably, you know, a lot. But they are a good, how many games back? 2.5 games back of where the Astros currently sit right there mm-hmm. At the wild card, you know, level there. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a good amount of time. Who's playing third for the Red Sox? Actually, I don't know. I'll have to double check on that. But I did realize that that was there. How about this? Talking about injuries mm-hmm. that are going to be also a loser is Caitlin Clark.
Quad injury also.
Quad injury there. Mm-hmm. And some people are looking at this as the WNBA being a loser here, because mm-hmm. it's clear that there's a lot of interest that follows Caitlin Clark that's helped drum up more intrigue in the league. She's going to miss at least a couple of weeks. Looks like at least 4 games on the docket she's not going to be available for. And I know a lot of people, and I think you might be in this mm-hmm. lot, are interested to look at what happens with the standings for the WNBA at large with her not being involved in the game.
Not just standings. To me,
Not standings, but ratings really more.
Ratings are going to be interesting. I mean,
well, standings will matter as well, because she obviously is very important to that Indiana
Fever team. But the ratings are interesting to me because, she's just – so important to the WNBA, and people take sides, and when you take sides, you want to see them on the court so you can take sides. And it's going to be interesting. 4 games, 2 weeks. I think it will have an impact. There's no question about it. You know, her not being on the floor.
Yeah. One thing I heard, I think it was Bomani Jones made this comparison. I'm interested in what you think of it. He basically compared her to Tiger Woods, right? Obviously, when it comes to being a phenom in a sport that I guess you maybe call a little niche, mm-hmm. right? And I mean that more for golf, like not being maybe not as niche. But golf is fairly niche. But yeah, WNBA also in that space where you've got people who parachuted in who did not care about this prior, but
point.
They're here for this.
Yeah,
I do wonder then, are you in a place where, you know, does this translate? Like, how much does this even matter all the way around? Where are you going to translate these folks from Caitlin Clark fans to WNBA fans at some point?
Well, I think there's going to always be some. I think Tiger Woods helped the game, establish some fans. But I love that comparison, because how many times when Tiger was at his peak, did you say, oh, he's not playing? Well, then I'm not watching. You know, it was a Tiger tournament.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm interested to see, like you said, what that mm-hmm. ultimately does there. How about this? Let's get to the audio portion of this. And I'll take you back to Boston, back to the Red Sox. Kind of coinciding with Alex Bregman, getting injured, losing him to the IL. The Red Sox actually called up a big time prospect for them, a guy that they drafted a few years back, Marcelo Meyer,
mm-hmm.
very good player for them. And he had his major league debut this weekend. However, he needed a ride because of this.
The great story is Marcelo said he lost the keys 3 weeks ago, but he's been at the ballpark every day. He hasn't needed his car, so it's been sitting in the lot at Polar Park.
I like that. He finds a way to get it done. Fouled off here by Rutschman. Can you imagine going 3 weeks without having your keys?
No. One day I get it, but the next day, isn't that like priority?
22 years old. Marcelo Mayo was playing in Worcester. I don't know if is that how they say it.
Yeah.
Worcester with their Red Sox, AAA, and he got called up. And he said that he had lost his keys and he just hadn't cared to find them. And then he gets called up. They had to have like one of these, I don't know if it's a clubhouse assistant, come down and drive him up to Fenway because he had just lost his keys and never found them for 3 weeks. What kind of psycho is this?
Yes, it's like, first, how long would you last without your keys?
All right, so let's.
I wouldn't last long.
Just your car keys, or it just your key ring.
Your key ring, but really these days, just my car keys. I mean, you have the keypads for the doors. You have fobs and stuff like that for your apartment or house or whatever. Your gate. I think just the fob is what would kill me. I mean, like just getting around.
Yeah, I can't imagine making it 3 weeks without my keys.
Yeah, no, just my brain would be like, yes. I got to find my key.
And you feel naked. You have to have certain things in your pocket.
Yeah, like I got to find it. It's one thing going a day or two.
Yeah.
Because, life be life and then you'll get back to it later. But in my brain, I would not sleep until I find my key.
Totally.
Like, how long would it take for you to just call the locksmith? Like, that's my thing. I'd have called the locksmith by day three.
Has he found his keys?
No.
Still?
He is in Boston now. Like, he ain't even over there.
Yeah,
like, he is dealing with major league stuff now. He got road trips and stuff to deal with. I just find it incredible that he was, like, he laughed at this. He said he was just, in the car as they drove him up to Boston, just dealing with, people texting him about, congratulating him about the call-up. And I just can't imagine being that. Maybe that just means he is real locked in on being a ball player where he was like, them keys don't matter. I'm playing baseball right now. But I just can't imagine.
How about that phone call? Hey, good news. You're getting called up. Awesome. Can I get a ride?
Yeah, someone send someone down. Come scoop.
That also sound like some rich people problems too a little bit where they just stuff that we got to make sure we have and find.
Or college just kid. Just bumming rides with people. Ubering.
Yeah, but if you got a car
and
the only thing missing is your keys.
But a college kid would be like that. Like,
go 3 weeks without finding your key.
But also, which key? Like, he ain't had none of his key. Like, who was.
Like, it's one thing if it's a house key or something like that, but a car key to get you from point A to point B.
And he's a bonus baby. So I'm like, is he one of these dudes at AAA who is sharing an apartment? Because maybe that'll help him get in. Or does he have his own apartment? At which point, how are you getting in the house? Or are you just leaving this thing unlocked? Like I got questions.
Keypad, man. Keypad.
Yeah. I got questions, Marcelo. Yeah. I got questions. All right. So there's that. And now I feel like this happened this morning. So you let me know if this if this falls into the Memorial Day weekend. However, this is the Proud of Beaumont, Texas himself, Kendrick Perkins, talking about performance of our guy in Minnesota there, Anthony Edwards. Ant Edwards, who, maybe didn't have his absolute best game, but still had a pretty good game last night in a game that saw them go down 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. This is what he has to say about Ant and maybe the way he comports himself if he wants to be a star.
Pieces of the league in the history of the game. You look at Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, LeBron, Steph. What did they all have in common? While they was playing in the league, they all were family men. They all were married with kids. And if you think that don't play a role as far as the role model, this is facts.
I think he's trying to say something else.
What do you think he's trying to say? Because I heard that and I was like, what? He's a loser here, right? Like,
he is a loser.
Perk's a loser here.
No. Perk is a loser here. But I think what he's trying to say is, hey, I've heard some things about him.
Oh, I mean, I think we've all heard those things, right? The idea that maybe he might be,
exhibiting altogether focused,
exhibiting the behavior of a deadbeat father. Not saying that he is or not, he might be exhibiting some of those behaviors at times. Yeah. And he's like, hey, go ahead and get yourself married, young fella, get yourself a stable life. But I'm like, the audacity of you to say that all these dudes, in order to be great players in the league and being face of the league, got to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, what? Don't we got Wilt out? Like, Wilt was out here.
Yeah.
Magic was out here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, my thing is, I'm sure it's a lot of married people in the league right now that ain't good.
That's
kind of struggling, too. So I just don't believe that, oh, you got to settle down for you to be good.
No, it's a reach, and he's a loser for it. But I think his messaging was more for this dude is not locked in, so to speak.
Why do people keep bringing up everybody's significant others and situation, exactly, man? Just stay away from that.
By the way, loser on the weekend, Ryan Clark. Ryan
for Clark, his third apology.
He's come out and apologized, except you want to know who he apologized to? His wife. Mm-hmm. He apologized to his wife for bringing up, for the fact that she now had to have hear about these things. Obviously, people started bringing up things in Ryan Clark's life personally, mm-hmm, the idea that he had a daughter from a previous relationship who is a mixed race. Obviously, race ended up being a portion of that. I was like, hey, yeah, this is rough. Also, I feel like you need to apologize to various other people.
Man, he's had a bad week.
Yeah.
He's had a rough week.
Yeah. Stop bringing everybody family into it, especially if we're talking about sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think so as well. Someone said Edwards did not have a good game. Reggie, stop it. Okay, he probably did not have as invested of a
maybe not his best game, but he was good.
I think he was good in the game. I think that he probably needed to be more impactful in that game, and that's probably with the criticism that people have levied towards him, but I thought he was pretty good in that game with what he did do. All right, Figgy, this is for you. A loser on the weekend, Naomi Osaka, who was playing. We got Roland Garros, we got the French Open happening. She lost in the first round of the French Open to number 10 Paula Badosa. Now, She has never really played all that well at the French Open, but last year she got knocked out in the first round of like three tournaments.
She haven't been the same in a long time, man. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably over with for her as far as being super competitive like that. I don't know what it is. I hate to bring up, I want to bring up the after you have a baby, then mm-hmm, you don't really be the same mm-hmm type thing. But it seemed like since she had, became a mother, it just seemed, I don't know, I don't think it have anything to do with anything. Look at me bringing up people's families. And
Yeah, you're like, it's because you got that baby girl.
Yeah, nah, but she haven't really been the same, man. I don't see her getting back to that start.
If nothing else, forget the baby part. It was a long break.
She also had that mental health break as well.
She had a very long break. Yeah. I don't think she's going to be the same, man. I've been saying that for a few years now, too.
And Alex Palou, winner for the weekend.
Who's that? Oh yeah, the winner at the Indy.
Waiting to see.
It took me a second to remember. Yeah, but he won Indy 500. He was out there at the court before the game last night. Night before, mm-hmm, in Indy. After he won the race, they got him over to downtown Indianapolis, and he was waving to all the people after chugging all that milk. Would y'all do that? Like, you win the Indy 500?
You have to, even if you don't, even if you're lactose intolerant.
What kind of milk are you? Like, are you getting oat milk? 2% whole milk, milk.
This isn't breakfast on a Tuesday. This is the Indy 500. Give me that whole milk. I'm going to go in, I'm going to go
all I can't imagine being covered in whole milk.
You don't like whole milk?
No, whole milk is good. I'm not dousing my, because you basically douse yourself in milk.
Whole milk, baby. You're in. Yeah.
Like I might go skim milk. Like, it's good enough. Y'all can see. Y'all can see what's happening.
Will it be dope if you go goat milk?
Sure.
Goat milk seems wild.
Why not?
What does goat milk taste like? I don't even know if I've had goat milk.
That man had goat milk before.
I have had goat milk before.
Was it good?
Yeah. Goat cheese? You ever had goat cheese? That's goat milk.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've had other cheese as well, and that doesn't necessarily taste like cow milk. I don't know. Somebody said, no, Edwards was not good. He was passive and his body language was terrible all game. I disagree with that. And here's the thing. I did say I really wanted him to be more involved. He didn't get a shot up and he did make the layup, but he didn't get a shot up until like a minute left in the first quarter. I did want him to be more involved. That does not mean the game that he had was inherently a bad one.
Right.
I thought that was one of those games where all the way around, I was kind of impressed with both teams. One of those, man, knockdown, drag out, great basketball games in which you just had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams decide to make more of those tough shots in the instances where you really need them.
Maybe you should have been a family man. We will be having this conversation.
There you go.
And real quick before we go, someone said, does UH basketball win with the return of Miles Yuzan?
Absolutely.
You could say they could be a loser losing Pop Isaacs.
I think they win. They got him back.
All right. Shout out. Shout out to all the winners and losers of the weekend. Coming up next, let's get to this. It's 100 days until the start of the NFL season. Jeremy Fowler put out a list of the 100 things that you need to know headed into the season. What are the things that also relate to your Houston Texans? We'll talk about that next.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years, guaranteed, on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.